Conference is now starting. All attendees are in listen-only mode.
And there we go. Okay, everyone. I know I'm a little bit echoey at the moment, but this is Elena, who is going to present some material on the all-important sign category. So, Elena, if all goes well, we will hear you.
Thank you, Michael. Well, hello, everybody here and in the world listening. What we're going to look at is the Stellium in Capricorn during the festival week. So during this week, we are experiencing strong impact of climaxic energies with the presence of Stellium in Capricorn. The Capricorn, the sign of initiation, including there would be solar eclipse in Capricorn, and all these energies indicating the completion, but also initiation of a new cycle of effort of the new group of world service. Now, the chart which we are using, just that you see what kind of stellium and planets are involved. We're using the chart for the ingress of the sun into Capricorn. You see there at 00 Capricorn, which Michael going to point with his zodiac. Right, thank you. And this occurs 22nd December, tomorrow morning, at 6:19 a.m. here in Rahalina, because I am using the coordinates for here. Okay? Which is 2 hours after Greenwich Mean Time, the hour here. Okay? So basically, everybody, whoever they are, they can adjust the time to the Greenwich Mean Time, which is at 4:19 yes, a.m. So the planets, I don't know how many of you know a little bit of astrology, is the Sun, Jupiter, Saturn, Pluto, Venus is already in Aquarius. So we basically we have four planets in Capricorn and the South Node. You see there, the black one. Okay. Now on the 25th of December, Michael is going to now bring the quadrawheel on this chart for the time 11:45 p.m. And we see the ingress of the transiting moon into Capricorn on 25th of December. Okay? So we have now five planets in Capricorn with that moon entry there. Okay? And if you see the line, because, you know, nothing moved in reality, you know, of the rest of the chart, that we see the alignment where Michael is pointing the moon 00, the solar arc, sun 00, the progressed sun, and the sun which was from the ingress of the sun. They are all aligned and they are forming already full new moon, sun moon. Because what is happening with the transiting moon, it's approaching the eclipse to the sun by transit, which the sun, you see, it's in 3 degree Capricorn, okay? But the moon is going to come up to form on 26th of December, the solar eclipse which we're going to see if Michael is going to bring that solar eclipse. Where it would be occurring in 4 degrees, Capricorn 06. You see there? Sun, moon, eclipse, 4, Capricorn 06, over the Jupiter. Almost exact degree. Now, that is very important. Of course, we're going to a little bit look at that. You know, Jupiter is a second ray planet. So the second ray with the sun is entering strongly into the energies of that stellium. Yeah. Now, prior to its entry into Capricorn, the moon, you see where it was? In Scorpio. No, in Scorpio, not by transit. In the original ingress chart and the progress, you know, you see it 8, 9 degrees Scorpio there. In the 11th house, which is the house of all the groups, including new group of world service. So the moon is very important as we see and from number of perspective. And the fourth ray is one of the rays related to the moon, you know, which is the ruling the new group of world service. Okay. So what is actually the moon in Scorpio? It's in the sign of its fall. Astrologically, you see, indicating that the hold of the personality is going slowly away, okay? It's decreasing in its power and the soul energy is increasing, okay? Which is the exaltation of the soul process, but the fall of the personality energies, right? And now, because we know that the moon is a symbol or ruler of the form aspect, matter, and personality is one aspect. Yes, it's a big, you know, a form. And when it ingresses, when it ingresses into Capricorn, as we've seen, and as it is there even now, it's found in its detriment. It means what? A detriment means that the power of the moon is lessening. There was completely falling the form in Scorpio. It's a great test of initiation in the Scorpio, particularly in relation to second initiation, which is a primary request, acceptance to be true member of new group of world service. Okay. Now, here the again in the gradual lessening of the control of the form, again of the personality. And why this moon is so strongly involved is that DK is telling us the members of the new group of world service work esoterically as souls, don't deal with the details of the personality. Okay. So this is a basic rule, he said, and will serve to eliminate many worthy aspirants from this group. Okay? Because he says that the members of new group of world service are living souls working through personalities. Okay? And actually, DK calls this group the one subjective group of conscious living souls. Okay? Now, personal desire and self-lower personality assertiveness has no place in the ranks of new group of world service. Now, again, the involvement of the Scorpio moon at the 8th degree, it's in direct contact with the south node in 8th degree Capricorn. You see, making aspect there. Michael pointed out the south node, 8th degree Capricorn, and the moon, 8th degree Scorpio. You see the relationship, a direct relationship, you see, to that power in that Capricorn through the south node now. And we know south node, you know, we can interpret it, it's going to the past. Past issues of the personality which need to be, its energy need to be dealt with. Okay, purified. Now, it indicates here, old, unredeemed, the issues of the personality, which has been hidden, okay, and must be brought up into the light of day now, Scorpio, and dealt with through the evocation of the will. You see, the will is very important, and the will to good, and the goodwill. All the aspects of the will is related to the new group of world service. And particularly, you know, at different stages of each or of the individual member and the whole group itself, okay? And this represent, because of the Scorpio and Capricorn involvement energies, it's a test of initiation to all the members, wherever they find themselves, in which level of the new group of world service, because in there we have different levels also, okay? So that's why there's such a strong involvement of that moon, you see? Now, if we look at the stellium in Capricorn, it falls in the second house, which is a Taurian house. Taurus is, again, sign of new group of world service. It's ruling even the Ajna. Okay? So, it is interesting that here, the emphasis is on the second house. You see? And what the second house deals with? It is the seed house of illumination, okay? Of material and spiritual values, finance, material and spiritual resources. So we have here Taurus, the sign of illumination, emphasis, and Venus as the ruler of Taurus, which is the representing the embodied soul. You know, and they are related here in this house. And become active in this house. And both are involved in the use of energy and in the problem of what is desired and what is regarded as loss. What we gain and what we lose. Okay? And it could be money, or it could be the strength of the illuminative power of that house, okay? Because it's the seed house of illumination, okay? Now, we see, that the Venus is found in Aquarius, still in the second house, but not in Capricorn. And this is significant too, because Aquarius is related to the 11th house of the groups, okay? And it is making a square, Michael, to Uranus in Taurus. The Uranus is going to transit through the Taurus a long many years, because it's moving slowly, and it goes retrograde, stop, back, direct, and so on. And this square, you see, is very important, between, because Uranus rule Aquarius, where the Venus is, and Venus rule Taurus, where the Uranus is. So there is a mutual powerful reception between these two planets, okay? And they are related not only to that second house, but basically to the new group of world service with both signs, Aquarius and Taurus, okay? And they are also rulers of Libra. Libra rules 11th house, which is the Aquarian house. It's the group house. It's the aspirational house. It's, you know, the ideas which they are dealing with, you know, and working with. Uranus is the esoteric ruler of Libra, and Venus is the exoteric ruler. Okay? And the focus through Libra is on what? Third aspect, Libra, money. So that is confirming the second house of money. You see? Together with Saturn in Capricorn, because Saturn is conditioned by third ray, okay? And Capricorn, one of its, through its coming also third ray. So we have a powerful aspect of through all these planets and sign, Libra, on finance, on values, on money. And you know, new global world service and the Christ need money. To prepare the way, we need money, okay? So this is interesting that this area is emphasized, you see? Now, Pluto in Capricorn is a ruler of Pisces. And Scorpio rules the 12th house, which is a Piscean house. And this indicates sacrifice here. The energy of sacrifice, because many would have to make sacrifices in order to bring this finance which would be needed, okay? And that would be particularly touching the aspirants, the disciples, you know, and the goodwill, people of goodwill also, because finances are needed to enable the new group of world service prepare the way for the reappearance of the Christ. So the right use of money is fundamental here. And sacrifice would have to be made in order to generate that finance. Now what DK is telling us, that prior to the return of the Christ, the demand for the financial support must be for the right human relations and for the goodwill prior to his appearance, you see? And when I was sort of preparing this, I said, wow, you know, everything is somehow dealing with these issues, that even the stellium falling in that area from this perspective of the money here, okay? Because right human relations is a result of goodwill. And members of the new group of world service are dedicated to the establishing of right human relations under hierarchical impression though, okay? That's from where they are inspired, because we must remember that the new group of world service is the linking group between hierarchy and humanity. That's why the Libra as the middle point where they stand is very important. Emphasize again from a different perspective, Libra, you see? Balancing, linking energy. And it's related also, you know, to relationships, dealing with relationship of every kind. And the theme of Shambhala is Libra in relation to the right human relations. You see? So everything seemed to be linking, you know, together with these energies. And this is indicated also by the triangle, Michael, between Venus, Uranus, that square there, and Neptune, which is found in Pisces there. You see, Neptune? Now, this is, you know, Neptune in Pisces representing the Christ. It's a Christ energy. It's the heart. Even for those who are already heart in the head. Uranus is the ruler of Aquarius Leo polarity of the meditative process. Okay? Which has to be continuously proceeding. You know, the Antakarana has to be in place. So, Venus as ruler of Taurus, seven house, which is a Libra house, representing that right human relation, and 11 house Libra, the balancing group, new group of world service, balancing group of the whole world forces. Okay? And meditation upon the preparation of the reappearance of the Christ and upon the attracting money for the hierarchy, for hierarchical purposes, is already in process. Organized from here by Michael and Tuya. Right? And what axes we have, MC and IC? Yours, Tuya. Pisces. And Virgo. So this is already in process, and I was thinking, why? What a place, you know, to have these energies right here, and the people are here, and so we have to join them in this process of meditation, all of us, okay, to strengthening the hands of the new global world service through the meditative process worldwide. Now, DK says it is in connection with money that the great test of goodwill should demonstrate. Okay? And goodwill is indicated by Venus as ruler of Gemini on the Scorpio house there. Okay? Other people, resources, banks, insurances, borrowing money, and all this. We need these people on a spiritual level handling money and knowing how to handle and use correctly the money. You see? Because goodwill is ruled by Gemini. And Venus is in the second house. Okay? And goodwill is related to the Christ, the Lord of love. That's why the Neptune. And that Pisces also. And when we're talking about goodwill, it could be defined as a quality which grows out of love. Where the life is ruled and conditioned by the soul, the loving soul. And it is an expression also of the Christ consciousness, goodwill. So, the light of matter and the light of the soul are both involved in the use of the energy in this Taurus seed house of illumination. The shaping of matter, we need to use Vulcan there. As the ruler of Taurus, okay? That's why the will, it's keep coming up the will on different levels. Because only through utilization of the will and discipline and responsibility of Capricorn, this could be, you know, possible. And when I was looking at that moon in Scorpio, is opposition the Uranus in Taurus. There is a powerful interrelation of energies because they are both in their falling. Moon fall in Scorpio, Uranus fall in Taurus. And they have a mutual exaltations. Moon is exalted in Taurus and Uranus is exalted in Scorpio. And they are in opposition to each other. It's a powerful linking process again involving the moon, which we already discussed from a number of perspective. And Uranus, you see, it's esoteric ruler of Libra. And actually, how would I say, the exaltations, even Michael is saying it can be even stronger, right, than the rulership itself. So this is again, both of these planets are related to the stellium in Capricorn. Okay. Now, with the moon in Taurus as in its exaltation, it means the power is in its peak. Emphasized there. It's very powerfully putting in the top of exaltation the form of the Taurus, the form. Through desire, translated in terms of spiritual will here, because we're dealing with welcome, spiritual will there. The form is esoterically exalted, esoterically. So what it exalts the destructive nature of Taurus, okay? So the destruction of form and ending of its influence is the goal of the process, which changes the desire into aspiration and eventually into spiritual will. It's a process. And through this process, we all have to go. Particularly if we want to be really the members of the new group of world service. Usually, Taurus, Uranus in Taurus, indicates the urge to change established order. It's a very changing, releasing energy, breaking down all forms which are blocking the progress, particularly the working process of new group of world service, which is ruled by Taurus. You see? When we're talking about the symbols of the Capricorn energy, there's relation to the, we already mentioned the law of group process, elevation, is the mountain. We climb the mountain and there's a goat, not a symbol of Capricorn. And the energy is seven ray involved with the law of group progress, and it's transmitted through Capricorn, seven ray. Okay? And the effect of this law is a soul unity and inclusiveness. So the transit of Uranus through Taurus, bringing a relation to this law, to the seven ray, and to the new group of world service, basically. Okay? But in it being in its fall, it tends to block the light. But the light, we have a lower light, I would call the Taurus light, lower light, but the higher light, when we say light within the light, okay? The higher light is the light of the spiritual triad here, you see? With that fall, the Uranus makes our awareness of light represented by Taurus difficult. Okay, so all the blockages for the light to come out had to be eliminated. And because we're dealing with the fourth ray, it is the conflict aspect of the fourth ray, harmony through conflict. We have to go through the conflict and struggle to bring that harmony. Yeah. Okay. Now, this is something which I was pondering myself, this call of the Taurus, of the Uranus in Taurus. The other aspect of it is to awaken and evoke the intuitive response of Taurus to the ever-increasing light as it goes up, until such time that full illumination is achieved, and also the development of the spiritual consciousness. We want to make our work spiritual, even the new group of World Service, we want to make spiritual group. And so we need to all work with these energies, which need to be, you know, releasing that light. Substituting these higher soul aspects for the lower form reactions of the Taurus. And Vulcan is refashioning, reshaping the matter for the soul to manifest. Okay? Also, pondered what else that fall of Uranus in Taurus indicates is the fall of the creative seed, involving the Aries energy, as Uranus is the ruler there, and the square of to that Venus in Aquarius. You know, it's the falling of the creative seed into the matter. And so Uranus needs Vulcan here to penetrate the matter and make it responsive to his fire and electric impulse there, okay? So the will again, because Vulcan is refashioning, okay? Is the creating, creating beauty and all this, making it more perfect. Now, Uranus is in a fifth house, you see it there, right? In Taurus, fifth house. And this is bringing the creative occult sort of Uranus into operation. It's very occult planet, Uranus, okay? And we need to become occultist to direct the forces in the right direction. Okay. With understanding of vibrational and etheric forces, because Uranus deals with etheric field. And as also Gemini, that's why strong emphasis on Gemini, with that we already looked at in relation to the goodwill and how these energies are linking together in this process. Because we need to understand the vibrational etheric forces. And there has to be the natural affinity to change, to freedom, and universality. Universality of the group itself, as an expression of the new group of forces. Okay? That's why Uranus esoterically ruled the Libra, 11th house, okay? It's very, very creative polarity, you know, that 5-11, particularly on group level. And 11th house is related to the sense of universality and to the new group of World Service. And so, as members of the new group of World Service, we must be detached from our personalities in order to participate in the group work through invocation and utilization of the higher spiritual aspiration and energies which are coming from above. First of all, from hierarchy And Shambhala energy is going to grow stronger and stronger as we are approaching 2025. Okay? So the utilization, even the Shambhalic will have to come for those who are ready to use it and how to use it rightly. Now, we see that Mercury is in Sagittarius. Mercury is also important planet here. Why? Because Sagittarius rules the second house here. Okay? So placement of that Mercury is important. But again, it's found in its detriment, lessening. Its power is greatly lessened in that Sagittarius. We have no exaltation of fall in Sagittarius, but Mercury is in its lessening power there also. So there is a definite cease of identification indicated here from the personality, but the emphasis must be upon the spiritual soul and the fifth kingdom before the entry into Capricorn and preparation for initiation begins. We need to be prepared first, okay? And Mercury is conditioned by the fourth ray, right? And it's placed in the sign which transmit the fourth ray, Sagittarius. And that is again, through that fourth ray, it is linking to the stellium in the Capricorn there, you see, because Jupiter, the other ruler of Sagittarius, is in Capricorn. But again, in its fall, you see how these energies, you know, had to be raised continuously up. I mean, the spiritual energies, okay? Now, you know, when I saw this, this is something like my new insight. When I look, Michael, look at that Mercury making aspect to Saturn. 19 Sagittarius, 20 in Capricorn, Saturn. Now, Mercury-Saturn aspect for disciples is a fundamental aspect because it rules the path of accepted discipleship and indicates that, for me at least, my present understanding, that the members of the new group World Service would enter this path of accepted discipleship at the middle point between the first and second initiation, approaching the second, and when they take the second, they are becoming the true members. Because second initiation is very difficult initiation to take, because why? Dealing with glamour, desires, emotions, you know, astral plane and all that. And many things that they are already, I don't know, you know, many of us didn't take it. We should ponder on that. But it is important that we do. That we do if we really want to work as a new group of World Service. Okay? Because the qualifications are higher and higher to become a member. Now the solar eclipse, Michael, if you bring up, which is falling in 4 degree Capricorn, there is that time you had there, different time, yes. I think it's 7:15 a.m.
Seven.
Oh, you
saw
this,
7:16.
Yes, I mean, we had it when we were trying it out, but I think it is 7:15.
7:12, right?
Or 7:12, sorry, yeah. 7:12. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did I get it?
Yes.
What is 7-3?
Solar eclipse.
Solar eclipse, exact time.
Okay.
Yes, in Capricorn. On 26th. 26th of December, you see it?
Yeah.
4 degrees, Capricorn 06. Falling in the second house and almost exactly on the Jupiter in 4 degrees of Capricorn, okay? And the Jupiter in Capricorn also strengthened the universality. It opened the door wide open to the secondary energies, love, wisdom, and strengthen the universality of the new group, World Service, as a group. Because when the widening of the door, there is a large identification becomes possible with the high energies. And particularly that square between Venus and Uranus is playing great part in this process. We can become more universal as members, and more open to the higher dimension of the soul and the spirit, the monadic energy, the shambhalic energy, with the possibility of the larger identification, wherein even the Neptune is involved, to become even identify more with the Christ energy, Christ consciousness, and living it. Okay. Now you see, this is again maybe a different approach to astrological interpretation. My present, I use it, I tested it, and it works. And what is it? That you see the cusp on the Sagittarian, we have 7-27 there, it's a cusp there. Then Capricorn has no cusp. Capricorn is intercepted. It has, because the next cusp is Aquarius. There is no anchoring of the stellium. And when this happens in the chart, we're dealing with the subjective energies intercepted in that house, which are not utilized on the objective level and has to be brought up. Like we want to put the cusp there and anchor it in a practical way. What is happening subjectively must happen objectively. Okay? So they have to be raised in the light of the day. The light of illumination, you know? And when we're talking about subjective energies, those forces which are coming from the soul, from the soul level, into the form nature, into the personality, also on its own level of awareness. For example, desire is not subjective quality, but the force. It is the force of the form nature, desire. It's not subjective quality, desire. A high call to duty and the sense of responsibility are truly subjective in nature. That's why it's so difficult to acquire them and use them in service. Because, you know, we need to become the soul. We need to basically become the soul, working as souls. Now, the DK's group of disciples were members of the new group of World Service, working on two levels. On subjective levels, they were creating network of light, and on objective level, creating the network of goodwill. That's why goodwill was his primary focus, where he was telling them, this is what I want you to do. Become, spread the goodwill. and many ignored it. They were doing completely their own things, not what he was asking them to do as a priority. Okay? So here we have an analogy to the dual life of disciple. Dual life of discipleship. Okay? Because a dual life of a disciple is a question of establishing a constant habit of spiritual livingness. Our spiritual subjective knowledge and all the capacities which we have on the subjective level, and they can become great, you know, but unused. They must be externalized in practical daily life. So all what we have on the inner planes must shine out, you know, and become objective in our field of service, wherever that service for us is. So under this pattern must also work the members of the new Guru of All Service, obviously. Through the triangle Uranus, Venus, and Chiron in Aries there, near the IC, okay, we're getting the guidance. The Chiron is the guide for me, representing there. An inspiration, direction from the ashram. You know, false house. It's in a false house, that Chiron. And the axis, you know, represent for me the hierarchy and the ashram, you know, with the more or less regular practice of the meditation. Okay, we have Aquarius Leo meditative axis there involved through that Uranus and Venus square, as we already looked at it. Meditation, you know, is very important because that meditation will anchor the will to good. The antakarana has to be going up, and its utilization can evoke even the Shambhala energy if it's going to the triad and higher. Now, you see, the focal point, the real focal point of the will and first ray of the stadius of Capricorn is the conjunction between Saturn and Pluto. This is a fundamental energy which need to be utilized, because it's indicating a spiritual opportunity to rend the veil, the blockage, open the door into the inflow of the opening of the door to the higher impression for those of us who are ready to take that second initiation and become the true members of the new Guru World Service. And the mystery of Taurus is revealed at the second initiation, the true mystery, which is, you know, brought by Taurus, Leo, and Capricorn, and Scorpio. We have all these energies emphasized in this chart. Scorpio, Leo on the MC, on the ninth house, you know, through the meditation. These are the energies which are involved at the time of also of the second initiation. Plus a general influence coming from Gemini, goodwill, but ruling also the eighth house, which is a Scorpio house in relation, you know, to the tests here, where the moon is found, and where we have the Mars in a powerful placement in Scorpio, which rules Scorpio exoterically and esoterically. And the Mars is in the 12th house, which is Pisces. It's also, you know, I don't want to go into details of this interpretation of this. I want to focus on the fundamental issues here. Because that's why I said maybe this presentation is going to be short. I usually ask for more time. We will see.
And we will know.
Yes. you see, the world The word disciples, you see the key word disciple is a technical term for the second initiation. But we need to be truly in there as a working disciples. And working disciples in relation, to the mass of men, mass is a cancer there, mass consciousness through responsiveness to the influences emanating from Gemini, because Gemini is the ruling house. Cancer is intercepted, axis with the Capricorn there, okay? So you see these energies, I'm just a little bit going quickly through them because they have to be properly discussed in relation to everything else. But basically this produces the capacity, to respond to testing opportunity here, to the sense of vision. Vision, we have two signs of vision strongly emphasized here, Sagittarius and Taurus, Ajna, both signs of vision, fourth ray involved in both. But Ajna, we must remember, is ruled by any of the seven rays. And we need to intuitively establish who we're dealing with and what ray is involved as a ruler, as a primary ruler. But in this case, it's definitely fourth ray, because new group of world service, even seven ray, could be conditioning, okay? So the sense of vision is through the illumined eye of the Taurus, right? And to use the power, in the right way, through the potency of Leo. The individuality of Leo has to be raised from the I personality into the higher level, right, of impersonality and universality. These are the energies basically emphasized through the axis Aquarius level also, which we already looked at. And so the Taurus opens the door into the hierarchy when the significance of Gemini and Leo is understood by us. And the first two initiation can be taken. These are the energies which we need to be working with also. And we are told that a closer connection to the new group of world service is possible where three consciously functioning members of the new group of world service are found in any exoteric group. To my present understanding, these three have to be second degree initiates in order to bring the energy into the all the groups which are working in the world, okay? Now, the Saturn-Pluto conjunction is falling in the third decanate. It means each sign is divided into decanates. First, 10th degree, first, second, third. And then we need to consider which way the wheel is turning. As a ordinary wheel on personality or soul wheel on reverse way. And we are not going into these matters. I'm just mentioning them, okay? So this present of this power in that third decanate of Capricorn, Saturn, Pluto, first ray power, it's ruled by the sun veiling Vulcan, another first ray. So this is offering the opportunity, wherever we find Saturn, is a spiritual opportunity for those who are ready to take the third initiation, supported by energies of Scorpio, Capricorn, and Pisces. And we have these energies available here, okay? Pisces, Neptune, strong Capricorn, okay? Scorpio. Where we have Saturn is ruling Capricorn, And Pluto is ruler of Scorpio and Pisces. You see this? This power of the first ray in relation to these energies. And Mars in Scorpio is sextile to this conjunction. You see, 21 degree, 20, 22 degree. And for me, this is providing the burning ground, which is present prior to each initiation, which we need to stand and work from. Okay? Because these are the energies, Mars, Saturn, Pluto, which are, you know, brought into operation in the burning ground. And third degree initiate would be part of the hierarchy automatically, member of the hierarchy. And representing the third circle of the new group of world service. And this third circle is conditioned by hierarchy itself. Okay? So third degree initiate is the first who can become the member of this circle because it's part of the hierarchy. Okay? Now just for informational value, without going into detail of it, the first circle is conditioned by the observers, and the second circle by telepathic communicators. And the third is the hierarchy. And there are other circles, but I'm not going into them, okay? There's many other things, but, okay. So what we have here is deepening Capricorn energy with the Saturn Pluto. How? By connecting the head through the Saturn to Capricorn and through Pluto to Pisces, and where we find the Neptune, and we are what doing? Balancing the head and heart. The very important balancing energies. You see, that is when, how would I say without going any, when the head and heart are consciously related, a disciple becomes spiritually magnetic and his radiation begins to be felt by others, okay? And this process starts when we enter the path of accepted discipleship, as I already said, in preparation of taking the second initiation. This is the beginning of that, okay? And I tested this in my little group, which we are researching into these matters, with one disciple where he says directly, "Welcome, my accepted brother." He worked 2 years in relating heart and head in unity, functioning in unity, which was the primary conditioning factor to enter the past. He was a newly accepted disciple of a path on path of accepted discipleship. Okay? Obviously, the perfect example would be the influence of Capricorn, where the head and heart are perfectly balanced. Mm-hmm. Eventually at the third degree, okay? Because Saturn is exoteric, an esoteric ruler of Capricorn, in Capricorn, and it's the basically a dispositor of all planets in Capricorn, because it's the ruler. It takes all the energies. Enormous spiritual opportunity for all of us presented, okay? On a number of levels, particularly initiatory levels, then the responsibility, discipline, you know, number of things here. And, you know, we do know that in December 1935, which is written in esoteric psychology, two, where he DK speak about this, where the energies of Capricorn were augmented from a still greater constellation pouring its forces. Now, I'm not going to go into it because it involves cosmology here, okay? What higher constellation we're actually talking about. And it's not one. I just hint for everybody to look at this, okay? Because why Saturn, I think why these energies have to enter through Saturn, because he is the ruler of all the energies, dispositor of all the energies. So I think all the higher energies could enter through Saturn. And obviously Saturn has also first ray there on one of his levels. So I think this is my present understanding, but I am not going into the matter any further. The other thing is Saturn is one of the most potent of the four lords of karma. Right? That is another aspect here. And forces us to face up to the past and in the present to prepare for the future. Because that is the intention and purpose of karmic opportunity. Now, one aspect of this, when past, present, future. Past is the moon. Even the south node, we can take that. The present is the sun, and the future is the ascending sign, which indicate the soul purpose, which we need to work with from life to life. Okay, even the future is indicated here. Michael, that chart, we need just the normal chart.
Normal
chart, yes. Next, that's it. Because we don't need any more, I think, the other chart. What I was trying to say, that from certain perspective, we can, when we're looking at the past, present, and future, we're dealing with this astrologically. Moon, sun, and ascendant. And ascendant, we all have somewhere else in the different degrees. The ruler, you know, soul purpose is indicated by the soul ruler, where it is in the chart. So it becomes very individual, okay? If we wanted to a little bit hint here in this chart, because this the energies of this chart are all influencing, you see, this process. So if we were taking, let's say, the Scorpio ascendant here, with the Mars ruling on two levels, exoteric, it's in the 12th house. This is the subjective area. This is the subjective, which is related to the subjective stadium in the second house, you see? And we have a Mars, Saturn coming together, planets of discipleship, you see, and testing. Very difficult combination, of course, very difficult, you see? And so that Mars, as an esoteric ruler, it's playing its part there. And it also has somewhere first ray. Okay? So this is just an example, okay? I'm giving you that, how we can look at it, you know? Other perspective, from the other angle of that Saturn in Capricorn, Saturn can be regarded as the dweller on the threshold, which is the powerful personality, which we build many lives, which takes over, you know? And facing the angel of the presence for the final fight at the third initiation, where the angel emerges victorious, the soul, okay? Some people say that the personality is killed, but that is not absolutely correct statement, because we still need the personality to manifest through here. But we need it personality which is purified and under control of the soul, obviously, right? So, and Capricorn symbolize a law, all the laws, like Michael already mentioned before, the laws, we have the laws of the soul, right? And Christ was born in Capricorn, okay? And fulfilled the law under Saturn, okay? So that is another aspect of looking at that Saturn in Capricorn. Now you see that Jupiter in there, which even the eclipse fell on that Jupiter. It's the exoteric ruler of the second house, Sagittarius, but also is the sole ruler of Aquarius. Okay? So, and again, in placed, Jupiter placed in Capricorn, it's in its fall. In its fall. But what is falling and what is rising, we need to figure out, obviously, right? So, because Capricorn is the most materialistic sign at the very early stages, okay? So we are told that Jupiter, the god of love, okay, falls at the early stages there. But later, when Capricorn becomes the place of the birth of the Christ, signifying which initiation? First, there you are, that's, you know, and place of revelation of the hierarchy, place where the Buddhic plane can be accessed, where Jupiter is one of its rulers, then Jupiter is becoming exalted in its power. So where something is falling and something is rising, there is a process, okay? And so Jupiter, with its exaltation, then opens the door to the Buddhic plane, basically. And, you know, from the mountaintop, eventually, at the third degree, it opens, you know, the door to the Buddhic plane. And that's definitely the heart in the head becomes active. Now, the solar eclipse at the 4-degree Capricorn conjunct Jupiter initiated the process of the higher aspects of that Jupiter, initiated that of selflessness, love, expression of the love for the good of the whole, okay? By the members of the new group of world service, primarily. That's what we're dealing. Because, you know, each energy, each can be interpreted depending who or what we're dealing with, from different levels, okay? So keep it in mind that we're discussing primarily new group of world service energies here and how we can utilize them if we want to become members. And the second ray, which is whose influences are pouring through the Jupiter, and sweeping the forces of the signs ruled by the Jupiter, which is Sagittarius. Watch the signs in this, they are all in this chart. Sagittarius, ruler of the second house. Pisces, Christ consciousness, Neptune. Aquarius, meditative angle there. And Virgo, where is it? Dharma, our Dharma. MC, up there, you see? And we need to obviously then these polarities work together. Virgo, Pisces, Aquarius, Leo, you know, Sagittarius, Gemini, and all these energies we touched on, they are part of this process, you see? So these forces of all these through Jupiter and utilizing these planets, which it rules, they are pouring, okay, through our entire planet and its kingdom, even the lower kingdoms. And we can, you know, the vision come from the mountaintop. When we actually can see these forces, the eye of vision is absolutely functioning there. Okay? So the linking of Leo and Aquarius through Sun-Jupiter conjunction is fantastic conjunction of second ray, you know? Even the eclipse confirming that. Okay? And the second ray indicates that the new group of world service must become eventually world service group. Okay? And with its members expressing not only group consciousness, but universal consciousness. Okay? So we have here two people with us who carry exactly these energies in their own levels, Tuya and Michael. You know? You will find them there if you look. Yes. Ashram hierarchy. Pisces, Virgo, Tuya. You know? You know, the Chiron, I like the Chiron. I like the, basically, you, particularly this week, the energies are focused here. We are dealing with Rauhalina energies. Okay? So two of you are going to have a great responsibility. Michael, don't. You know what means. Yeah, what? Place of peace. Libra.
Castle of peace.
Well, I knew there was peace.
It's descending.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's why I said, you know, you have a lot of energies here, which you are Capricorn, for example. So, you know, and with that conjunction happening where it's happening, I mean, there is, you know, I don't want to go any more into the, have I fulfilled my time limit? Or
you still have.
You
can I have you for a bit soon?
Yes, sure. Okay.
You know, because this is the first time that I'm seeing this chart. Michael, can you put the chart?
Because so I have.
In the past, we have the
yes.
Coffee break.
Yeah.
So we still have time.
Oh.
Can you put Michael the chart? Because this was.
This is the ingress.
Ingress
of the Sun into Capricorn.
You know, because they're just putting a little bit of mythology there.
Mm-hmm. Well, interesting.
Very interesting. You know, when we look at this Mars and where it is, it is in Scorpio in the third decanate, right?
Yes.
So behind the third decanate, we find Hercules. Was it like the prototype?
This is exactly the way I didn't want to go that road.
Yeah.
But I am so happy you're going to share this.
Yeah, you know, because first of all, England is Capricorn rising country. Mm-hmm. So when you are, so this is the only country with DK sex.
Yes, I know.
So I'm sure that there are other countries, but still, all of those where the Capricorn is strong, certainly these energies, when we think about the distribution among humanity or through the groups, these are giving us an extra push or extra impact.
Yes, he's where they can find this about other nation also,
right.
The raising the nations, right?
Right.
This little book.
Exactly. So I think if Australia has Capricorn.
Destiny of the Nations. Yes.
Right. And then the Jewish group has Capricorn. India. Actually, India is opposite. We have Aries personality and Capricorn rising, and India has Capricorn personality and Aries rising. But anyway, Michael, can you put back because it didn't finish there?
And Brussels has Capricorn personality.
Right.
For the right. European Commission.
Exactly. So it's interesting and would be now interesting, I don't know, do we have this written in our schedule, but anyway, to discuss that. But thinking about this real disciple, the Hercules for us, which is the point where the Hercules is upside down in the heaven, meaning in that sense, the third degree. In third degree, we start to move upside down, meaning that this the real tree of life is starting to take the energies from spiritual world and subjective world as the elements came for us. So in that sense, when we think about the scope of life, we never, when we have a chart, we cannot pinpoint like that, okay, now I am this. But it is pinpointing the process and the possibilities. And when we think about this Kaiman, the Sri Lanka Kaiman, Hercules is so much related to Kaiman.
Excuse me, Michael, Tuya, and Helena.
They are direct in master. And in that sense, really, we ought to think about this Kaivan and this Kaivan energy, because he is the one who struggles through the whole universe, searching the hero. And in that sense, when we have eyes, it's at the feet. Because it's important. And he was wounded in the heel. And that makes him to go further. And that's why he became the master.
He's also anchoring energy there.
Right. Because he is the great master. So the Hercules and Mars, so much relating to that. And there is one for me, this mystery, and the key thing for us is about the friendship. You people who are servants will not stand if there is no friendship.
Michael or Elena, could you repeat what has been said because the audience has lost it?
That's human relations, exactly. You said, Elena, something I wrote that, hopefully I remember. Saturn linking, you talked about the important it is in Saturn's life and so forth, and being the actor in the most of the system. And also, when you think about what is the purpose of life, we all are supposed to be a better people. To what we need to be a better people, we need for the carrying forth the stronger energies. So the Saturn is linking us directly to the past,
to the earlier solar system. So Saturn means the linking, the bridge between these two solar systems. So when, and that, I think, the first time I was thinking about that, I think that is one of the reasons why Capricorn is powerful, because in Capricorn energies, minus Saturn and also Libra, you have the access to work with those two difficult things. What is that past within us? It matters how we cultivate the mental Libra for us. And
Michael?
And Saturn is found between Saturn, Saturn is found between Uranus. You know, iron is found between Uranus and Saturn.
Right. So all of this, they are really, I didn't know that. I have no wonderful revelation to think about all of this, what are important for us. And about the Leo, as you were saying, that, because I have a background in theater, and what do you learn in theater? Really, honestly, I think that everyone should be put into theater when that is, because you learn what is the problem. You learn even though you do not have the main role, but if you don't play your role, it collapses. So that's why we need everybody in the group. Fulfill our own
place.
Yeah.
Thank you, Julia. That was very, very good. You adding things here.
Michael or Tuya?
And then we see that how what is about life. Our thoughts is the best way of life, because this is the kind of the base, these energies are present.
Yes.
The internet audience has lost this whole thing.
We have different aspects in our lives and how these energies are hitting. But that is the way away from all of these terms which you should have been realizing.
Michael or Tuya or Elena, the internet audience lost the entire discussion.
Thank you. I was telling you. Are you going to be surprised? Oh, yes, I am aiming to.
Oh, I have a tremendous opportunity for you. Now, to ask from Elena.
Questions.
We are not letting you go.
And I saw my finish.
So I'm new to astrology. Remind me what the upward arrow means.
That is Pluto.
It means what?
Pluto.
Pluto. Oh my goodness. Okay. Drinks up.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I think the UK came up, Pluto up, welcome down.
That's right. That's right.
Vulcan, it's going, bringing, how it is going.
Molding.
No.
Dragging to the surface.
Yes, bringing from the depths up.
Yeah.
And the other one is going very deep to sort out the matter there. You know?
Yeah.
Opposite direction. You know? You find it. Yes.
There was one thing. Can I say it's not very interesting? He did my mind. Really, my consciousness. Michael, can get back again? You know, the Sagittarius. The Sagittarius is also for the nuclear service. And by the way, do you know why do we have those eyes?
That's the
illumination. That's the
hint
for you.
That's the eye.
And I tried to point to that there he is talking about the eye, not this eye. So anyway, Sagittarius is so important. And when we talk about Buddhi, and we know that in real sense, we do not have Buddhi yet on our level. So what is that Buddhi for us, because we are aiming towards Buddhi, And I was, it was just coming to my mind. Kandhavasis are beings who are, they in Buddhism, they are those as eight whirlwinds that are going around mountains.
Kandhavas. Yes.
So speedy horse type of energies, which are like a whirling around the mountains. And what is that, this world, when we think about Ashram Center? The world which is here, the point between these inside points, where everything is here. So this, that's the point where this portrait has reached its point. So the turmoil is over, the struggle is over, there is the harmony.
Yes.
So it was just hitting me now that this, the world is in Australia, all around this world is, I think really, that is also one indicator of these Buddhic energies which are descending. We can think about the Shambhavi energies, by the Buddha. There is something going on here on that level, on our earth.
Yes. I just think, as you are talking, that we have another analogy to that.
Right. You know these people who follow these
Burikas or whatever it is, which are destroying, going in America, particularly this, what do you call them?
Tornadoes.
Tornadoes. And you know what?
Uh-huh.
That they were making experiments to get inside, because there are people who actually follow them on purpose, okay, and study them. And they are studying to get inside of that hurricane, because what they are discovering, that they find complete peace. And outside what is happening, all that destruction, inside of that hurricane, there is stillness.
Right.
And that is what like a revelation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so in that sense, when we think about how Taurus and Sagittarius relate to vision, are related, and in Sagittarius, how important is the silence. So it is, Jesus says about that, Sagittarius is the sign of silence. And that means in there, when we think about the evolution of the discipleship, when you prepare for the initiation. So there is that point that we have to go where is complete silence, and that indicates when we are standing before the door.
Mm-hmm.
That is the point when we can go beyond that for poor service.
That's when you look at it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also, we stand as souls,
mm-hmm,
in a voice, as observers, and standing in that light and work, you know.
Even if you gave one mantra to one disciple, you know, that basically to stand there, nothing,
no evil can touch me when I'm standing there, because he had a certain issue, you know, with this. So that is another inner voice,
right,
where this peace is found,
right,
you know. For all of us, if we can reach it and work from there.
Yeah, you know, there is, I don't remember what ancient group it was. It was related to warriorship. The teaching went like that whenever you meet the enemy, go with him into the silent point.
Mm-hmm.
So that creates this protection for all of us, mm-hmm, also. But this, what is going on in the world? We were another day talking about the horrible fires now in Australia, and because they are talking about these whirlwinds there. So it is so that there is something more than just the normal fires. Some energies are falling in.
Yeah. Please make sure you speak out strongly.
Okay.
When you speak.
When I speak, okay.
Okay.
Yes, as a disciple, we should stand persistent in what we do, irrespective of what is happening around us. If everything is falling around, disasters, whatever, stay in that inner point.
Right.
And that is the most difficult thing to actually achieve.
Right. And to calm our, but when we think about our whole nature, which is built from elementals, and when whatever happens in the world, our elementals will respond to that. And how to be the really the king or the god of our own universe is to hold these, our elementals, in order. And it's like the horse. I never have been knowing so much about horses, because my daughter, who is a
Sagittarius.
Yes, she's competing and has horses, and she has been painting. And then looking at how sensitive is the horse. So actually, it is a very, very great talent when we start to hold the horse. And that's why all these, like Krishna, the Varuna, Vishnu, they have those white horses. It is about the control, the control of horses. And in Aries work, test or the flavor, the horse is one of the symbols. I'm sorry. I can't.
It's the positioning of the microphone. That's what it's all about. So I'm getting reports from the other side that when people speak up out here, not Elena, they need to hear stronger. You're okay.
Okay. Sorry.
But it will be recorded. This one, yes.
You lost the recording.
No blame.
Well, of course, I lost the recording when I was talking.
Oh.
I mean, really.
Wait, again?
Yes, unless Michael Stacey had one. Yeah. Anyway, don't worry about it. All kinds of things are happening back there. Don't worry about it.
So anyway, have you finished?
Oh yeah, I finished a long time ago.
Now everybody at home, make a big cross on the wall.
By the way, you saw that statement at the, here it is, at the first initiation, the disciple has to contend with the crystallizing and destroying forces of Vulcan Pluto.
Oh, yes,
the
no.
The Vulcan reaches to the very depths of his nature.
Oh, that way it is. That's way it is.
Pluto drags to that surface, whilst Pluto drags to the surface and destroys all the energy.
Because Pluto is with the underworld
involved,
you know.
Yeah.
So
if you want to, you know, things are always popping out when Pluto is strong, and surprises come under Scorpio, for sure. And you feel the pressure under Vulcan.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
By the way, Elena, when you were talking about the finances and money, resources, and what is the, from DK, a big, big hint, how to respond to these issues of money. What was that? It is in money meditation.
What is the question?
The question was, so what is the hint by DK how to deal with the issues of money and resources? What is that how he is teaching us? Is to spread love. So the love is the key for the money.
Not about the new car?
No. If you find that
love. As long as you love your new car.
Okay. So anyway, now it is 20 past, so we are going to have a break, and then we come back a little bit, a few minutes before 10 to 5, because then we are having the 5 o'clock mantra, and prior to that, we have 10 minutes silence.
Mm-hmm. Do we bring our gongs and bells that we brought?
Yes, we can do that.
We can ask.
This was a spontaneous thought, but yeah, let us do that. If you have your bears with you, you can.
So no.
But anyway, you don't have to. But if you want to drink, we can start with this, bringing a little bit bears, and then we go into the silence, and then
what happened here? What happened here?
You have a coffee there. So thank you, everybody behind the scenes. Lots of love from Finland. Thank you, Elena.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Michael, Stacy, could you hang on while everybody else goes their way?
Yes, I will.
Now for 25 minutes.
Michael, can I? Do I have to be connected still to this?
No. You don't have to be connected. I just want to speak.
Okay. Can I disconnect myself?
Yes, you can.
Okay, because he's asking me, are you sure you want to be on yourself? Yes. And I said, Sorry, Tuya?
Yeah, you are next on 27th of December.
I am speaking again
here? That was what you really wanted to speak.
But I never seen myself again, and I thought you left me out.
No, you are on the 27th.
Michael, do you want me to stop the recording?
And it's the cycles of the nuclear commerce service. That thing was you really love to talk about.
Well, when I was looking at all the my possibilities.
Michael, do you want me to stop the recording?
When I was preparing things, I was preparing not one title. This is when you ask me, what is your title?
Yeah.
I didn't have any title.
Okay.
Because I thought,